Scripture comes from Matthew 10, verses 1 through 8. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them the authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Lord, as we come now to a time of looking into your word, hearing your message, let it also be a time that we give of ourselves to you, recognizing that while we fall short, we're also created by you for a purpose. Help us to recognize that purpose and to be committed to following through. God, we thank you for loving us, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Linda began talking with us about the hot dogs and the chicken. As we begin this week, most of us have probably made some kind of plans for celebrating July 4th. What is another name for the 4th of July holiday? Can anybody tell me? Independence Day. This holiday marks a declaration of freedom from Great Britain. Another question: was the success of the American Revolution the result of a committee or a few good soldiers? No. It was the result of a group of colonists who were passionate about no longer wanting to be under the rule of Britain. We're thankful for those who fought for their freedom and ours, as well as those men and women who have made sacrifices over the years to assure that we continue to have such freedom. But today, as believers, we also celebrate another type of freedom. Through Jesus Christ, we have freedom. We have freedom over sin. We have freedom over death. We have freedom over Satan. While we know each person must make an individual decision, personal decision, to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Christian walk is by no means a journey that we're intended to go alone. So again, we're focusing on a title that is Team Means We, Not Me. Just as soldiers came together over 200 years ago to go and fight for freedom, today we come together to fight for the kingdom of God. And I mentioned this earlier, for the month of July, we'll be looking at a series I've entitled Team Spirit. And I'll be connecting these messages with what we're sharing at sports camp. Think for a moment about the title of today's message. Team means we, not me. How do you think this message might be relevant to 60 plus children at camp in a couple weeks? If we can help them grasp the biblical understanding that God intends them to be a part of something bigger than themselves, what kind of difference will that make in the rest of their school experience, their family, their community, their future? Now another question. What does the message "Team Means We, Not Me" have to say to us today? For me personally, it is directly related to God's calling for us to come together as Woodland Church and be a part of the sports camp in whatever way God might lead. Now, no one has said this to me, but I can anticipate someone might think this. That sports camp idea sounds good enough, but that's just not for me. I'm just not a sporty type of person. This isn't just about sports camp. This is about everything. We like to isolate and think we can only do things that we're comfortable with or things that we're gifted in or things that we have planned in our own agenda to do. That is hogwash. It's not a very spiritual word, but that's what it is. And it's exactly the type of thinking Satan wants to use to keep God's church from coming together and demonstrating the full power of the body of Christ. So with the sports camp, yes, we're doing our best to provide top-notch coaches, inspirational speakers that will provide a quality camp, but that camp in and of itself is not the end game. This becomes a tool, an avenue to provide freedom for so many. Through your involvement, God will open doors for us to connect with the hurting, the broken, the lost families in our community. Many of those who God will reach through this ministry also have absolutely no interest in baseball, basketball, soccer, or volleyball. But somehow God will use the efforts of Christian servants and the experience of camp participants to let people in this community know that God loves them, that He knows their specific struggle, and He's offering them freedom. You see, the sports camp is an amazing, wonderful tool, but it's only a tool. It's not about being able to play better sports, although that's something we can use, that's something that we can help children to feel good about, but that's just a tool that God can use to help them introduce them and their families and people they know to something even greater. So how can you play a part? How have you played a part? First of all, there's financial contributions. If you haven't already heard, you have already paid for 100 of these soccer balls. They came from many people that are sitting right here. That's not going to roll off. That are sitting right here, but it also came from many people outside of this church. It came from people outside of this county that are aware of what's going on and want to be a part of it. So that was one thing. Another thing is we need volunteers. We have lots of volunteers already. We have our coaches in place. We have inspirational speakers in places. We have a leadership team. But we need more people. And these may be the most important ones, the ones who are going to be there to welcome people as they come, the ones with smiles on their faces, the ones to serve as servants that others are going to see and wonder why in the world someone would be doing that. We need somebody that's going to blow up 99 more of these because we got 100 and I only blew up one this morning. There's many opportunity, and if you're interested, let me know, let Jackie know, let Waverly know, anybody that's on the team. There's another thing, prayer. We talked last week about the armor of God and the last part and what gets left off sometime, and I so want to never be one that leaves it off. It talks about all the different parts of the armor, and then at the end, it talks about prayer, the invisible part of the armor, but it's no less powerful than any of the rest of it. And so when we think about prayer, we need prayer, because let me tell you what's going on. This sports camp thing has grown to something bigger than I ever imagined. There are some great things happening. There are great people involved. There are commitments that have been made already to see the kingdom grow. And you know what? The scripture at the beginning, it talks about Jesus called the 12 disciples, gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. You know, there are evil spirits. And sometimes we just want to ignore and pretend it's not there. But you know, as much as I've told you what's going on with the sports camp, Satan knows more about that than you or I, either one, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. So I promise you, Satan is going to be throwing things right and left to try to disrupt what God desires to do in our community through that camp. And part of that's going to come, it's not even just what may happen with the camp. There are people that are part of planning this. There are people that are part of being excited about it, that they're already growing in their relationship with God. And Satan doesn't like that either. And so he wants to do something that's going to mess with that. Prayer is a powerful way to combat what Satan is trying to throw at us. And so when I talk about asking you to be a person that prays, I don't mean just saying a prayer in passing, well, God, I hope that sports camp goes well and the kids have a good time. No. I want you to pray diligently for God's will to be done. Pray for the leaders that they will lead not only out of their own experience, but from out of what God desires them to do. That there will be people that will be there, whether it's a parent dropping someone off, whether it's an aunt picking somebody up, that there may be a conversation, there may be something that clicks. God will use that. It's not limited to Matt teaching somebody how to bounce a basketball. It's more important that people that are engaged recognize that there's something that's happening there, that God is a part of it. And yes, God's going to use the bouncing of the basketballs, the hitting of the baseball, as a tool to reach people that God loves and cares about. And then, how else can you be involved? This is what I think is probably the most important. It's what I'm calling the follow-up. It's what's going to happen after the sports camp is over, because I'm convinced, I am certain, that God is going to change some lives in the 3 days that are there. But you know what Satan is going to try to do with the leaders through the people whose lives have been changed? Satan is going to say, it was just about 3 days. It was just about having fun. It was just about a church trying to do something to feel good about themselves. And if we drop it after 3 days, Satan will probably win that. But follow-up means we as the body of Christ are in tune enough with what God's doing that even if we weren't at that sports camp and there are people in the community whose lives are being changed and we come in contact with them, we allow God's Spirit to lead us in being who God wants us to be at that point, so they continue to sense the presence of God in their life. They continue to know that perhaps through something we do, say, a way we serve them, they know, you know what, God has still chosen to be a part of acting in my life today. If we want this to be what God wants it to be, it can't stop after 3 days. There's got to be follow-up, and you have to be a part of that. So let's look quickly at some of the scripture. We mentioned the first one in verse 1. The disciples were given power. As believers, we have the ability to recognize and call out evil as well. And believe it or not, from this comes freedom. And let me explain a little bit about it. First of all, and I've said it, Satan is the enemy. Too often, we look at other people and we make other people the enemy. We fight against people who may not believe things exactly the same way we do, or look the same way we do, or respond to things the same way we do. And so we look at them as the enemy instead of creation of God himself. God loves this person as much as he does you and me, so they're not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And when we recognize that, then we have the freedom and the ability to view others through the eyes of Christ. And then God can use us to reach others, to make a difference. Secondly, when we start talking about Satan or evil, a lot of times people like, well, I'm scared. I don't want to be a part of that. We don't need to be afraid. If you're a believer and you have Jesus Christ in your heart, Jesus Christ, God himself, is more powerful than anything Satan can say, do, be. And the Bible says over and over and over, we don't need to fear. Third, what is evil? Evil is contrary to the desires of God. Anything that's not of God and would lead people in a destructive direction, you can recognize as something that's evil. And what I want to challenge you with is to realize it's not our responsibility to judge someone else. When we recognize somebody is making choices and they're headed in a path of destruction, we as believers should love and care for them enough that we want to help rescue them from the path that they're headed down. And we have to realize we can't rescue them. It's God that rescues them. But we have to trust the relationship we have with God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the fact that God loves us and loves them, and that comes together in a relationship. First, our relationship to God, but then also a loving relationship with that person that's struggling. And then God changes people for eternity. God desires to use us to do something about this, and He's giving us the power to do it, just like He gave power to the disciples. The second point, I've said all for one, and this centers around that whole team spirit idea. The disciples were sent out, 12 of them were sent out, and their personalities were different. They went to different places. They probably had different ways of expressing what Jesus told them to share, but this is what Jesus told them to share. He said, "Tell people the kingdom of heaven has come near." And that kingdom of heaven is centered around God and Christ Himself. And so when we recognize that we are a team, we are to be a team centered around one. If we're not careful, we can have all these little sprouts and all these agendas and all these different things that become more important than who God is and what God desires for the whole. We have to make sure we stay centered all as one. People need to see the kingdom of heaven through us. The kingdom of heaven is near. And a lot of times when people read that, they might understand as, well, that means it's not going to be long before Jesus Christ is coming back and we're all going to heaven. Well, that may be true. But in this scripture, the way we're to understand it and way to know it is the kingdom of heaven is near because God is that close to us. And God desires to be a part of our lives. God desires to help us work through the struggles, the challenges, the yuck that's in the midst of our gut because of the sin that's there, the choices that we've made, the things that we're facing. The kingdom of heaven is near today. People need to experience the unquestionable presence of God. And I truly believe that this sports camp is one way, one tool that God has sought to do and plans to do that in a powerful way. There will be people who will be blown away because sometime in the next few weeks, they will have an encounter with God that they didn't see coming. Third, and this relates really well to one of the praise songs we just sang, with God there are no losers. In verse 8, we read, He told the disciples, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons." God desires to make everyone whole. And these right here are people who believers or the disciples could look at and say, they just don't have it together. You know, when we have the sports camp, we're going to play legitimate games, and they're going to be teams that will win those games. But they're going to be no losers. They're going to be people that won't win the game, that won't have as many points. But a loser is someone who fails and nothing good comes of it. But there are no losers in the sense that just because you didn't achieve a goal that you may have been striving for did not mean that you didn't grow. In fact, falling short is only an opportunity to learn and improve if you allow God to be a part of that failure. And that's what we're all called to do. So, no matter what your skill level, and I'm not just talking about sports camp, no matter your skill level, no matter your economic status, no matter your past, there are no failures. There are no losers. If you allow God to be a part of your life, God will take whatever you have to offer. He will bless it. He may break it, and it may not feel good. Then He will use you. Everyone has a purpose. Then finally, giving and receiving. The last part of verse 8 says, "Freely you have received, freely give." If you're a believer here today, what have you received? You've received eternal life. And from that eternal life, you know what it means to experience the love of Christ. And through that love of Christ, you have a hope that the world cannot offer. Although people yearn for it, it can't come from anywhere but God. There is a peace that comes from the midst of that relationship with God. And if you look anywhere in the world today, we need peace. We can have a peace through Jesus Christ that we're able to share with others. And then there is the joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is something that isn't based on a situation. Joy is something we know because we know that God's in control. We know that we have ability beyond ourselves. And we know how the game is going to end. So, what does it mean for you to be a part of a team? I truly believe that one of them means that God wants you in some way, shape, or form to be a part of this sports team. And there's many opportunities. I've mentioned them today. There's many more that I haven't mentioned that God can place on your heart. And again, it's not about the sports camp, but if people in this community see us coming together as a church, and if we do that, and this just becomes one time that we do this centered around this three-day ministry, and then we continue to do that at another time, and we continue to do that at another time, and it becomes an example, and then others decide they want to be a part of such a team, then the message of God has come forth loud and clear. Team is about we, not we. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to have a time of commitment. But as we do, I want to challenge you once more in a way that the children will be shared with at camp. See, this ball is much more than a ball. It's going to become 100 living testimonies that go out through Nelson County and maybe even beyond. But as all the children that leave are going to know what I'm about to tell you. The black on this ball represents our sin, because you know what? There's not a person here today that hasn't fallen short of what God wants them to do. Yet, God loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed blood, and that's what the red is. The blood that was shed by Christ that paid the price for this sin, so that we might have a relationship with Him. Jesus Christ died on that cross, rose again. And that causes us, instead of having the sin in our life, to be as white as snow. That doesn't mean there's not consequences to what we may do wrong, but it means that when God looks at us, He sees us as pure, no matter what may be in our past. And from there, we're able to grow. And we can become so much more than what others may have claimed we can be. We're no longer put in a box. We're no longer limited by what others see as our skills and our past. But we're given the power of Christ. And that gives us eternal life, where we get to spend eternity with God in heaven. But you know what? We don't have to wait for then, because heaven is here today. God is with you. God loves you, and God will change your today and your future. 100 that every child will be able to tell you in their own words what I just told you. That's one thing that's going to happen in the next few years. God wants to do so much more with you this week that may have nothing to do with sports. Recognize that we're a part of God's team. Let's be about making a difference. Let's stand together and sing Freely, Freely, hymn number 207.